I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our message this evening on the theme, Believers Shall Suffer Loss. It is not an approval. It is not a title where it encourages you or it permits us to say that it is okay as believers to suffer loss. In the context over here, the loss here describes the loss in contrast to the rewards that a Christian may receive for his faithful service and his faithful labor. So the loss here is not a good kind of loss. And for a Christian, the moment we are born again, we have already started building our building. We have started building our lives. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, says here that ye are God's building. So we are God's building, and as believers, the moment we are born again, we have started building this building. Now, what Apostle Paul is describing here, it is not a physical building, but this building is an illustration of our lives. We are building our own lives. Now, when we think of physical buildings, we usually want to build buildings that are beautiful, buildings that are stable, buildings that are firm, buildings that will last for a long time. Now, even in the days of the Apostle Paul, as today because of those PMD devices, fire in homes are rather common. Right? Nowadays, we have this kind of fire that we also see in homes because of these PMD devices. But in those days, in the days of the Apostle Paul, fire that consumes home is also rather common. And when the fire burns down the home, what will remain would be only those kind of metal or those materials that can withstand the heat of the fire. If the building, because it is made up of wood, if it's made up of hay or stubble, when it faces the fire, it will be burned down. And Apostle Paul was here using this illustration to describe our life, to illustrate our lives, that we as Christians are also building upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ now our lives. This is our Christian life. And the materials that we use, Apostle Paul will identify it to be our works, our labors unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we build with our buildings, with these materials, when we build up our lives, if we use gold, silver, precious stone, then this will remain. But if we use wood, hay, and the word hay there describes grass, and stubble there would describe straw. So if we use wood, grass, and straw to build up our lives, then that is when believers will suffer loss. And the idea of believers suffering loss is found in verse 15. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, there the Apostle Paul says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. And this was the loss that Apostle Paul was talking about. Now, in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Apostle Paul wrote about the carnal Christian. In chapter 2, he identified and he contrasted the spiritual man from the natural man. He says that there are only two kinds of people. One, he is a spiritual man. The other, he is a natural man. And the natural man is an unbeliever. Whereas a spiritual man is the one who has the Spirit of God indwelling him, and therefore, he's the spiritual man. But the Apostle Paul now faced with a problem in the church of Corinth, where there were people who now created this division and this disunity within them. They were competing, they were fighting amongst themselves, and the condition was so bad, the conflict and the disunity was so bad, that the Apostle Paul has to say that those of you who have instigated this, those of you who have brought about this strife, envy, and division, ye are carnal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, you see how Apostle Paul simply pronounces this. Ye are yet carnal. Now, why does he use this term carnal to describe them? It is because he recognizes that they are believers. He is not able to say that they are the natural man because they are truly born again believers. If you are truly born again, you are no longer the natural man. So he has no doubt that they are truly born-again believers. Yet at the same time, he was not able to say that they are spiritual because they have not been living in the Spirit, even though they are born again. They have not been walking in the Spirit. If a person walks in the Spirit, he will not be creating this kind of strife and envy and division within the church. And that was why the Apostle Paul had to describe them as carnal. And this is not an approval. Apostle Paul was not saying that it is okay to remain carnal. It's okay for you to be carnal. But rather, he was here using this term to express how these Christians have lost their testimony and their witness in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are not spiritual, yet at the same time, they are not natural because they are no longer a believer. But they are not living as a spiritual man would. And therefore, he says that they are carnal. And what we are looking at this evening is where those people who suffer loss, they are these carnal Christians. Of course, now this is very ironical to think of a Christian who is carnal, yet this is what the Apostle Paul has identified. And those people who will suffer loss, they are believers. There's no doubt about it. Yet they have lived their lives in such a way where there is no enduring quality. The fruits of their labor, even though they will put in a lot of effort, even a lot of time, but because of the wrong motives, because of the wrong method that they use in their service, the Lord will reject it, and the Lord says that it will be burnt up, hence believers will suffer loss. So the title that we are looking at this evening, or the theme that we are looking at this evening, believers shall suffer loss. It is not to say that it is okay for believers to live this way. Neither is it an approval or an encouragement to say that continue. It does not matter whether you suffer loss or not. Instead, the message this evening is to encourage us, to remind us, to warn us as well, to think very carefully how we live, even as a Christian, so that we will make sure that at the judgment, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns for us, we will not suffer loss. And there are three things we want to consider this evening. In the first place, for believers to even live for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, in the title, believers shall suffer loss, for even a believer to suffer loss, right, we are not encouraging it, we are not saying that a believer should suffer loss, but for a believer to even begin to suffer loss, he must be a believer to begin with. And that's the first thought that we want to look at this evening. We must build upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We must have the right foundation. If you want to restate, right, our theme positively this evening, how can a believer not suffer loss? Okay, if you want to look at it positively, then the first thought would be, for a believer to not suffer loss, he must first remember the foundation that he is building upon. He must have the right foundation. And this foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 11 and 12, Apostle Paul identifies this for us. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, then his work would be manifested. It would be declared, it would be revealed. But Apostle Paul first drew our attention to the foundation. And Apostle Paul says the foundation which he has laid, which he as the architect, which he as the preacher has been laying in the church of Corinth, has been the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the whole theme in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says that is the foolishness of the cross. Is the foolishness of the cross because the world would regard it as foolish. The world will reject it. The world will see the cross as an emblem of shame. He says it's through the foolishness of preaching. But even though the world may reject it, for the Christian, it is so wonderful. It is so beautiful. What does the cross represent? What does the cross remind us of? The love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the justice of God that has been met and fulfilled.
And Apostle Paul says, now this has been the foundation that I have laid. And there's no other foundation which we can lay than the Lord Jesus Christ. And to begin with, every believer must build their lives upon this foundation. This is the foundation for salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation for salvation. How are we saved? How can we have eternal life? There's no other foundation apart from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed, his death on the cross, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the foundation upon which our salvation is based upon. But not only is he the foundation for our salvation, he's also the foundation for our living. He's the foundation which we now build upon for our whole life. And this includes the philosophy of our lives, the purpose of our life, the principle with which we use to govern our life, the direction of our life, even the very source of our life. It is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ as the foundation. The foundation in any building would determine how strong that building will be, how secure and how safe that building would be. And if you want to build a building higher, you want to have taller buildings, then they have to build the foundation deeper. They have to make sure that the foundation is secure, strong, and firm. And there's the whole science that will go behind making sure you have firm and strong foundation. The kind of materials that you use for the foundation, the kind of ground that you lay this foundation upon. And when there are different types of ground, then how they have to adjust the materials that are used to make sure that you have very firm and secure foundation. If you have very good materials that you use to build the rest of the buildings, even if you have very beautiful materials, very strong materials, but if the foundation is weak, the building will collapse. And that's why it begins with the foundation. The foundation is of utmost importance. Everything in our life, every aspect of it, every area of it is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Apostle Paul wanted to remind us, first and foremost, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is rejected by the world, which the world does not accept, which the world may see as foolish, and their own stubbornness, they have rejected it. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is to the Christian so wonderful, so sure, and so firm. Have you this foundation? Because before we can even consider the theme of whether we are suffering loss or whether we would gain this reward, that is a thought that we need to think upon this evening. What foundation have you been building your life upon? What is the philosophy of your life? What is the direction of your life? What is the purpose of your life? There are some people who may live for what seems to be very good and noble purposes in life. Some maybe for political purposes. Some maybe for the country, patriotic reasons. Some maybe for humanity to save lives. Some maybe for environment. But what is the foundation of your life from which everything else will be fastened, will be secured, will be anchored? It must be the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where we need to start this evening. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is the Lord Jesus Christ the foundation of your life? What is the direction of your life? Where are you heading towards? Is your life sourced in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it constrained by Christ? Is it compelled by Christ? Is it moved by the Lord Jesus Christ? And this is also a reminder for Christians. So it's not only just for unbelievers who do not have the right foundation yet, because you may build your life upon any other philosophy, any other principle. It will be the wrong foundation. It will not secure you through eternity. But for believers, it's also a reminder. If you say that you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, then this must be the foundation upon which your life is built. Christ must be the source of your life. But if now Christ is the foundation of your life, there were some Christians, even though they were genuine Christians, who have been building wrongly. And that's where Apostle Paul now describes from verse 13 to 15. The believer who will suffer loss, even though he has the right foundation, is the believer who does not build for eternity. Even though he has the right foundation, he has built in a manner and in a way that is unworthy of that foundation. He has built in a way and in a manner that is unworthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the foundation is good. But now, if you do not build in a way which is worthy of Christ, this believer will suffer loss. So again, if we want to restate it positively, okay, a believer who will not suffer loss, a believer whose building will not suffer loss, is a believer who will build for eternity. Negatively, the believer who will suffer loss is someone who has not been building for eternity. Because this is one of the themes that you see in verse 13 to verse 15. Right? From verse 13 to 15, Apostle Paul here says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be rebuked by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So here he is now describing how every man's work will be manifested and will be revealed. And the word that Apostle Paul used here, okay, the word manifest has the idea of to make visible, to make plain. And the word reveal here has the idea of to fully disclose, to fully make known. Okay, one day it will be revealed. And Apostle Paul says here, now, if it is revealed, when it is revealed, okay, when it's tried, and when it's fully made known, if your work abide, in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he had built thereon, he will receive a reward. So when this work is now put through the test, and the labor, the work, the fruits of his labor that now remains, that abides, then he will receive a reward for those labor that stands the test. But for those labor, the work that does not stand the test, when it's burned up, then he shall suffer loss. Yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So his salvation is secured. He will not lose his salvation, but he will not receive this reward. And one thing that we notice here in the contrast between the materials that are used, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, is that one of these categories and one of these groups of material, they are temporal. The quality is very poor. And there's a contrast in the quality that is seen over here. Gold, silver, precious stone, it has the quality where it will last. Of course, we know that here Apostle Paul is using this in comparison with wood, hay, and stubble. We know that gold, silver, precious stone will also one day rust and corrupt. Right? In eternity, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, all these things will be burned up. But he's not talking about that. He's here drawing the comparison and using it as an illustration, okay, contrasting it with wood, hay, and stubble. And he's saying now that the carnal Christian, the one who lives for the flesh, his foundation is right, but he has been building upon the Lord Jesus Christ things with no quality. He's building upon the Lord Jesus Christ, with even though with the right foundation, fleshly things, worldly things, with worldly motives, with fleshly desires, with fleshly pursuits, with fleshly ambitions. These are the things that he has been building upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Fleshly gains. Now, one thing we need to remember, that as Apostle Paul contrasted the fleshly things with the spiritual things, he is not saying that anything that is found in the church is spiritual. Neither is he also saying that anything that is found in the world, in the sense of your secular vocation, okay, anything that you are doing in the world is automatically fleshly. That's not what he's saying at all. He's not saying that only service in the church is eternal. only service in the church has the quality, has the enduring quality. That's not what Apostle Paul is saying. He's not saying that if you are working with a vocation or profession in the world, then it is automatically carnal and it will not have enduring quality. Because if that were true, then everyone must now go to the full-time ministry. Everyone must be a preacher. Everyone must be a missionary in the full-time sense. And we're not just talking about, oh, sometimes you preach the gospel, you share the gospel with your friends, or sometimes you go for mission trips. But if we now think that only service in the church would be a service that has enduring quality, then everyone has to go into the full-time ministry. And that's definitely not what Apostle Paul was saying at all. But he's rather describing how there would be those who may even in the church be serving with fleshly desires, with fleshly motives, because that's the meaning of the word carnal. It comes from the word the flesh. With fleshly ambition. And in fact, when you look at the context over here, Apostle Paul was addressing Christians in the church. And that was the problem in the church. Because of their carnality of the flesh, they have brought about division within the church. They were looking at the leadership and the headship of men and not the headship of Christ. They were competing with one another. Apostle Paul used the word, they were envious of one another. Now, the church in Corinth was a church that was blessed with wonderful spiritual gifts. Apostle Paul has no doubt, and that was what he described even of them. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, he says that here, in everything ye are enriched in him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. So he says here, you are very rich in the Lord Jesus Christ, even with the utterance and the knowledge that you have. You are very eloquent. You're able to define the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're able to explain very precisely the truths concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You are enriched in Christ in all utterance and in all knowledge. So this was one thing that was commendable of them. But yet, despite the spiritual gifts that they have, they were now competing against one another. They were now envious with one another. So even though they were serving with selfish motives, selfish desires. And Apostle Paul says then, this is works of the flesh. Wood, hay, stubble that would be burnt up. What they have been laboring for, even though they were in the church, is for their selfish motives. And that's why, even though you may be in the world in the sense that you have your full-time job, right, in a profession that is in the world, it does not necessarily mean then, therefore, those things that you do there are wood, hay, stubble. It can also be gold, silver, precious stone. When you do it as unto the Lord's calling, you know that this is where the Lord has called you. You know that this is where the Lord has placed you. And you do so faithfully. If you work in the world with selfish motive, with a competitiveness, in the same way these Christians were doing so in the church, then again, it will be a work that is wood, hay, stubble, and no longer gold, silver, precious stone. But in no matter what you do, no matter where you are, if now you are serving because you know the Lord Jesus Christ has called you to, you are faithful, you are diligent, you are doing it as unto the Lord, you are not jealous and envious of others, there is no competition even in your workplace, then that would be gold, silver, precious stone, because you are doing it unto the Lord, even as a testimony for the Lord. And the problem for some of these believers is that they had no concern over the quality of their work. They may be even doing a lot. When you go back to the context over here, you know, some of these Christians, they may be doing a lot. They may be seen everywhere. They may be recognized of men. But yet, when their works are tested, it is found wanting. It's only wood, hay, stubble, not gold, silver, precious stone. And this is a thought that we need to think upon this evening. What have you been building upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ? The foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ is what every believer has. But what have you been building upon it? Are those things that the materials that you have used, would it be temporal things? What is the quality of your life that would be seen in your life, that would define your life? What is the quality of it? And we're not talking about the quality, again, by the world's definition or the world's standard, because when the world thinks of the quality of life, they think about the comfort of life. They think about how healthy you are, how strong you are, how comfortable you are. That's the quality of life that they're thinking about. But we are looking at it in the quality of your life, your spiritual life, in the way God sees it, that it will last for eternity. That these are the labors and the fruits of your labors that will last for eternity, because it's not fleshly, it is spiritual. Have you been thinking very carefully about what you have spent your energy, your time doing? What have you been striving towards? What have you been putting your heart, your soul, your mind into? You spend so much time working hard, but for whom? For what? Does it have eternal value? That's one thing that we need to think about. So for a believer who will suffer loss, he may have the right foundation, but he does not build for eternity. He only looks at this world. He only looks at this life. He has no eternity in his view. And the third thing that we see for a believer who suffers loss is not only does he have no regard for eternity and he does not recognize the quality of the work, he also forgets that his work will be reviewed and tested. He's only concerned for what man sees, what man recognizes. And he thought that all these things that he has done will remain hidden. And so the third thing that we see over here is that, if you restate it positively, for the believer whose work will not suffer loss, he is always mindful of his master. He knows that all these things will be revealed, all these things will be seen. But it will be seen of whom? It will be seen of the Lord. And that's where we come back again to verse 13. Apostle Paul says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Now, what is this day that Apostle Paul identified here? Okay, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Apostle Paul referred to this day earlier on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, okay, he says here, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, so he here described this day as the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and then when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, okay, just one chapter down, again, Apostle Paul made mention of this day. And what day is it? He says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So you put these thoughts together, this day will be the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns for us. This is that day that is coming very soon. And in that day, all things will be revealed. Even for believers, our works, our labor, it will be made manifest. It will be made visible, it will be made plain, it will be made known, and the Lord will come. And the Lord will come, but he will judge. And this is a judgment of reward for the believer. It's not a judgment unto salvation. Our salvation is already secured. But the day will come where the Lord Jesus Christ will reveal. The Lord Jesus Christ will now make manifest. And for the believer, how he will live presently on earth is that he will live where he's very conscious of that day where the Lord Jesus Christ will come, where all things will be made manifest. The believer who will suffer loss is one who does not recognize that everything that he does will now be made manifest before the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just very concerned about what man thinks of him. But here, the emphasis is on God being the one who will reveal, God as the judge. Sometimes if men praise you, or if you praise men, how do you evaluate a person that he's worthy of praise? Why would you praise a person, or why would you say a person has done well? Or when someone, when he praises you, do you think that it is because he truly knows you, he truly knows your motive, he truly knows your intentions, he truly knows your purpose in everything that you do? Can he really see your heart? And if you do to and you do anything just to seek the praise of men, just to seek the approval of men, then that is where you have forgotten what you are doing these things for, why you are doing these things. One of the struggles that we face is that as we go through life, we grow up always seeking the approval of people. For little children, as they are growing up, they seek the approval of their parents. And so when their parents are pleased with them, they are very happy. Then later on, when they start going to school, they now seek the approval not only of their parents, but also of their teachers and their friends. And that is where peer pressure comes in, right? When now the approval of their friends is more important than the approval of their parents, the approval of their friends more important than the approval of their teachers, then they will succumb to this peer pressure. Then later on, once they start work, they now also want to seek the approval of their colleagues, their bosses. They grow up trying to seek the approval of people around them. And for some, they also seek their own approval. They want to be approved of themselves. That is what they have been working for. They think that they are the judge of their own works. They look to others as the judge of their own works, of their labor. That is what they have been working for. And so they want the praises of men. They want the approval of men. And this is where we have forgotten that God is the one who will judge. God is the one who will review. If you have been laboring faithfully, and no one recognizes you, no one acknowledges you, no one remembers you, but you have been serving faithfully, it must not discourage you, because you know one day you will receive a reward. Now, when you consider the situation in the Church of Corinth, it was similar, because there were some gifts that are more prominent, that were more obvious. There were some gifts where in the area of service, it would be a quieter ministry, where not a lot of people will see and recognize what these men and these people are doing. But that's where they need to remember. The Lord sees, the Lord knows, and all these things will be revealed. Wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, precious stone. And if you labor, you seek the Lord's approval. You seek the Lord's reward. Then you will not be discouraged, even if people does not know, people does not recognize, or people does not praise you. And at the same time, even if everyone praises you, even if everyone recognizes your labor, but yet you have selfish motives, yet the intention that goes behind the work that you are doing is dishonoring to the Lord. If you are lazy and deceitful, even if everyone approves of you, but the Lord now will reveal your work, such a believer will suffer loss. He will not lose his salvation, but his whole life's work would have gone to waste. And are you very conscious of this? Are you conscious that it will be revealed? Again, you know the idea of revealing here, I believe that it should not frighten you in the sense that you are afraid that, no, now everyone will know, everyone will find out. I remember when I was a youth, and then I heard a preacher talking and warning that, one day our works would be revealed. I remember at that time I was quite afraid and scared. What does that mean? Now everyone will know my life, the secrets of my life, everything that I've done and things like that. But then later on when I grew older, I thought about it more, and I believe there was someone who actually corrected my wrong thinking. He says, Why are you more concerned about what people think of you, even in eternity, than what Christ thinks of you? Why are you so concerned about that? Why are you so concerned merely of, oh, now, will people know then my bad habits? Will people know my flaws, my sin? Will it be revealed? But that's not the focus and the emphasis. Now the focus is simply that it'll be revealed, but God is the judge. And at the end of it, will Christ approve of your work? And that must concern us. That must be that which frightens us if we have been building upon Christ the right foundation, wood, hay, and stubble. That must be that which frightens us. Not so much of, again, oh, in heaven, will people know? Will people find out? Will people see this or that? Are you conscious of this? Even in how you are serving now, even in what you are doing in your life now, that one day all these things will be revealed. Now over here, the illustration and the picture that is used, you know, of the fire burning, it does not describe hell or purgatory. Okay? Because Apostle Paul was here simply using an illustration. He is not here trying to teach, okay, that there is a process of purging before we can be accepted into heaven. Okay, that is, you know, like there are those who teach an intermediate place, right? A limbo after we die. That's not what Apostle Paul is teaching at all. He's just here merely using an illustration. But this is the thing that we need to think about. When God now reveals and God exposes and God opens up, make known all our work, what will it be like? Are you conscious of this? God is the one who judges. Your work will be judged. Your work will be made known. And that must affect and impact what you do now. What have you been building upon this foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it labor and work with right motive, with right purpose? Do you have a burden and a passion for souls? Have you been encouraging and building up your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Have you been reminding them of Christ and His Word? Or have you been tearing each other down? Have you been striving for the more excellent things of Christ? Not just being content with just merely the foundation. When you look at Christianity today, one thing that plagues Christianity is a very mediocre kind of Christianity, where many Christians are just content to cruise through life. They say, I do not want any rewards. Can I not have gold, silver, precious stone, and also not a lot of wood, hay, stubble? So they just want to cruise through life, a very mediocre kind of Christianity. And perhaps, you know, the standard of Christianity has deteriorated to such a point where today what we may regard as spiritual could be, in light of Scripture, in the days of the Apostle, what would have been regarded as carnal. Because we have deteriorated to such a point, we have diluted Christianity to such a point. And how can we then return to a higher standard of what Christ expects of us? Is to go back to His Word. Not try to meet the standard of man. Not try to meet the approval of a man. Or even a church. When you look, oh, this church. Within this church, oh, maybe you feel that you are so spiritual or so mature. But that is not the standard with which you measure. You will look to now what God sees of you. How God will evaluate you, what God will think of you, and it's His approval that you seek. Will you suffer loss, even as a believer? You will suffer loss if you are truly a believer, if you do not have the right quality, the right materials that you use in building. You will suffer loss if you do not have the right urgency, the right awareness, knowing that one day all things will be revealed. But how can we as believers then not suffer loss? First, you must remember the foundation, the right foundation that you have built upon, that you have as a Christian. You already have this foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must now continue to build upon this foundation. And you will not suffer loss if you build for eternity. You build for eternity with the materials that will last for eternity. It will not be temporal things. This is the quality with which you will use. And then, you will not suffer loss if you are always mindful that one day it will be revealed. And you will strive to please the Lord. Strive to live for Christ. Then the things that you build will not suffer loss. Now we know that the reality is that in the life of a believer, there will definitely be part of our lives where we will use gold, silver, precious stone, and also wood, hay, and stubble. Because the reality is that we are not perfect. But by the grace of God, with His strength, as we labor on, we can build upon the foundation and lay upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone. We can build more of it by the grace of God. And that we would reduce the wood, hay, and stubble that is found in our lives. And how wonderful that day will be when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again for us. When our lives, the lives that we have lived, would be one that would bring glory to Him, would praise His name. Let us not build in a way where we will suffer loss. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, our merciful and loving God, Thou art full of compassion and mercy. And O Lord, we thank Thee that even as we have received Thy salvation that is so rich and free, now we can build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives, and we can build a life that would glorify Thee, that would please Thee. O Lord, forgive us when we have been distracted, or if we have been forgetful, and because of that, our lives have only been filled with wood, hay, and stubble. Even though we have spent so much time and energy, and yet, because of our wrong motives, because of our sinful desires, all that we have is only wood, hay, and stubble. O Lord, we pray that Thou will forgive us. How empty such a life would be, even though we have Thy wonderful salvation. But, O Lord, we pray that as Thou hast still given us this life, and we still have years ahead to live by Thy grace, we ask that now Thou will help us to build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stone. They will bring glory unto Thee, they will be pleasing unto Thee, that our lives can be truly meaningful and be filled with a purpose that even has eternal value. O Lord, may Thou search our own hearts. And if we have sinned against Thee, forgive us. But grant us Thy grace and strength, because we know how forgetful we are and how weak we are. And by Thy grace and strength, we thank Thee that we can build our lives unto Thee. Help us to remember how much we owe, that our lives belong to Thee, that we owe everything that we are, everything that we have unto Thee. And so, Lord, how can we live for any other purpose except for the Lord Jesus Christ? We thank Thee for this sunset gospel hour. We thank Thee we can come here this evening to listen to Thy word. May Thou keep Thy word in our hearts.
Hear this, we pray, for we ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.